and welcome to a Taylor's Tales podcast. This is Chris's Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and welcome back to a brand new episode. This week, it's just going to be a catch-up on meditation, on Buddhism, on a little bit of this and that, traveling, getting your head together, and a general, just a flow of thoughtless bullshit.
This is not okay. This needs to stop now. This is cancer. This is so much cancer that I can feel the tumors growing on my back.
Just my mind, how it works, is clearly, actually, to some extent, is operating on that brain rot mindset recently, where I realized very much that I wasn't able to coherently get things together because I was realizing like how much, you know, when you get into a repetitive, real doom scrolling, you do actually almost rot your brain away. So I've very much been trying to stay in the present, doing activities that very much hone my focus, which is kind of a difficult thing to do nowadays with so much external focus on everything you're doing. I've had a few conversations with people and it's not just me. It seems to be a big thing is like, how do you get rid of that brain rot routine? Well, the first thing you have to do is actually figure out why you're doing it in the first place. Where you're trying to fill time, you're trying to find some sort of entertainment and fill space where you can't be bothered to focus on something. And I think that is very much a difficulty for most people nowadays is finding entertainment that isn't a screen. You know, I saw a fantastic skit on Instagram recently where it said, we wake up, look at a screen, then we go spend 8 hours at a job looking at a bigger screen, and then we come home and we relax and we look at an even bigger screen.
Oh, the irony! It's too much!
And it really is this consistent message of we are non-stop exposing our eyes to just nothing but technology. And this is coming from the guy who is obviously recording on technology at the moment. Thankfully, if you're listening to this rather than having to watch a screen, which is part of the reason why I'm going mainly audio now, because I've also realized that when I listen to podcasts, I'm not looking at the screen. I'm normally doing something else. And why would I try and get other people to try and do something that I wouldn't do myself? Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I get it. Rogan and others will record their point, but they're very good at this, and I am not. So it doesn't matter. The point being is that if you hone in on something, you hone in on a specific area, and you go from there. But back to the whole brain rot thing. I've also realized as well is that the bad weather really forces you to be online more, and so it brings it back to that mindset of just like consuming content all the time, because when the hours are dark all the time and you can't be outside in the beautiful countryside, the beautiful fresh air, or you're, you know, seeing family or friends, you normally revert to this just screen to screen routine.
Fuck, I hate when he rhymes,
and that's just unhealthy. You know, I was listening to one of my friends recently speak about his routine and how many books he's getting through. It's just so impressive. He's gone from somebody who didn't read at all, and then 2 or 3 years later, he's reading 30 books in the space of like 3 months. And he utilizes his time whenever he's commuting to and from work in London to be able to consume those books. And while I am also a reader myself, I'm someone who has to truly focus in, truly has to really focus on the book to be able to get me to read it. And that's because over time, I would like to blame this on the attention span problems coming from technology, but it's not. I've always been like that ever since I was a kid. For me to read a book, it has to really grab me. It has to really get my attention, you know? It has to be really there on top form. That's probably why English literature, for me, when we were studying these boring books, it was just so tough. It was just, yeah, you didn't care about the characters. It's probably why I love Sharp and Bernard Cornwell books because the characters are relatable and they are actually someone who I care about and I want to see what the story is. And it will take you to a place where you're really caring about where the arc of the character goes rather than, oh, right, it's just a standard romantic story or a comedy where there's no real, you know, there's no sort of, I want to say bet, it's not, it's stakes, that's it. There's no stakes to the story. And so if there's no stakes to the story, what's the point of doing it in the first place? That's what life's about. You have to have some sort of risk. You know, I did something on Friday where I went into work and I did this presentation. And the reason why I knew it was going to be a good presentation was because I felt a little bit nervous. I feel a little bit edgy. And I love that. I love that little bit of, you know, your fire underneath you. You got to have that from time to time because you're alive. You know, it's that beautiful video online of, I'm alive, yeah! You know, this mindset.
What am I doing with my life?
I'm alive! Free yourself! It's beautiful!
Of, we're here, we're present, we are loving what's going on. And as spring comes into the United Kingdom, and things can get dark, things can get tough when winter's here, but damn if I won't be, you know, enjoying myself and feeling a lot more alive when the sun is still out when it is 7:30 at night. That's so good. It makes you feel, and I'm watching the sunset at the moment from the right-hand side of my apartment. I love that. I love looking and seeing what truly is real life. So if you want to take a break from the screen and understand what everything around you is, what's it truly about, because you can get to that existentialism, you can think about all of these things, the expectations that are placed on you by society. If you want to really figure out what makes you happy and brings you joy, just watch a sunset. You know, one of the most basic, simple things that we can get. I mean, I'm saying it like we see them every night. That's not the case in the United Kingdom, but seeing them recently, it's beautiful. And it does bring it back to that whole, there's stakes to life. You may not see something every 24 hours, but there are 24 hours and then every day nonetheless. What you do with those is down to you. And I've very much trying to slowly but surely sort of claw my way back into a positive mindset. Number one, I am normally positive. Winter took it out of, you know, a little bit of wind out of my sails, just because the darkness got to me clearly. But I'm back mentally, and that means bringing positivity to the world, bringing positivity to others, and that's always a good thing. I think that's the main thing to think about, isn't it? Like, when you think about what makes you truly joyous, it's laughter, it's beauty, it's, you know, love, it's that warm hug that you think of, the person you yearn for in your life immediately, or your friends who just make you fucking just joyous and laughter and happiness, and all of those memories that you're thinking about, or those car journeys where you're just in fucking hysterics, or where you're in with your parents and you just can't stop laughing over something so stupid. Those are the things that come to my mind, or the moments for me when I'm staring over a beautiful view of a city or a place or nature and just watching the world go by. You know, this is why I've gone into a lot of meditation and looking inward and reconnecting with my religion, or the religion I associate with the most, which is Buddhism. And specifically, the type of Buddhism that I'm talking about is that of the country Tibet, so the Tibetan Buddhism. So it's a little bit different from other versions of Buddhism, which you'll see. And one of my favorite things about it is that the whole point of it is that you get to pick and choose the things that you believe in. All of the other religions, I find, it's a very set, strict set of rules. And by doing so, and you know, by being stringent, there's good things, but it's also, there's a lack of balance between chaos and order there. And you have to have in life not just a consistent routine, but some chaos from time to time. You've got to shake things up. And I love that about Buddhism. It allows you to think. It allows you to question. It is not just, reincarnation. It, you know, that must be just a set thing. Yes, they have a belief about that, but you can question it. The Dalai Lama is not going to come up to you and slap you across the face and say, listen here, bitch. You already get to, you, everybody here gets reincarnated. You son of a bitch. It just slaps you again and again and again. Listen here. You better listen to me right now. You're going to come and do a crusade for me, son of a bitch. You see what I mean? Like, this is the joy. And one of my favorite things about monks from the Buddhist belief is where they look just so content with their lives. It's because their happiness doesn't come from just the self or the ego. It comes from the love for other people, the love for life, the love for a being, being an animal, a creature, anything. Their love for all of the world. And that seems to be a consistent thing across religions as well, isn't it? The love for everybody, not just yourself. And I was watching Guy Ritchie's Revolver recently. Great film, 2005. And it reminded me, and I'm going to have to rewatch it again, because the film itself has so many layers to it. But the film itself is based around ego, self. And what is the self and what is the ego? The ego is needing external validation. It needs to be caressed. It almost is so there. It wants you to allow the world to say, oh, look at me, look how special I am, look how amazing I am, look how beautiful it is. And it's so smart that you associate ego with yourself. So when I say I'm Chris Taylor, the ego is almost associated so closely to who I am that it becomes the self. And I think that is one of the toughest messages to try and convey through a film, but somehow Guy Ritchie did it. And that film wasn't amazingly reviewed or given a lot of money or got a lot of money or recognition at the time, but damn, I'm going to consider it a classic from now on, and I'm going to continue to rewatch it to remind myself that everything I do from time to time, if I'm reacting to something that is external, that's coming my way, negative or positive, I need to remind myself that I'm just a man, like Marcus Aurelius says, and also remind myself that I need to disassociate from the validation of the external. And I need to disassociate my emotions from who I am. And I don't mean not be, you know, an emotionless stone person. Of course not. But I do see the difference in who I am now to who I was when I was younger. I used to be so snap, quick reaction to everything. Now I'm trying really hard to focus in on what I'm saying, to take a breath, to take a thought, but to also really hone my mind on who I am. What do I love? What do I love? You know, and I don't mean the sense of the ego. What does feed the ego? You know, the likes on Instagram, or the chocolate, or the taste, the smell, all the senses being fed. I'm talking about what brings me joy and love and happiness and also helps other people. You know, two questions that the Egyptians loved to ask in the case of death. Did you bring joy to yourself? Yes. Did you bring joy to others? And I always say, I hope so. I hope I put a smile on somebody's face out there. And that is so core to what we talk about. In today's society, you hear the phrase self-development. Now, what's the difference between ego development and self-development? Well, does the building the ego benefit anyone else other than you? No. But if you do development for yourself as well, is any of it going to benefit the world? By becoming a stronger person, yes, you can help society. By becoming mentally stronger, yes. By becoming intellectually smarter, yes. By honing in some sort of skill, yes. Something that I didn't realize about myself, that these podcasts are clearly going to help. And I've realized what the benefit of these podcasts is, not just in myself or in my life. It's in my career, my ability to express myself and to be able to clearly put across my thought process and to hone in on correcting how I think and not speaking too fast. That's another thing that I'm trying to really make sense so that people can understand what I'm saying, but also understand as well, there's people out there who aren't speaking English as their first language, you know? And when I speak to somebody who is foreign and isn't speaking English as their first language, I need to slow down. I need to take it back a step. I need to express it in the terms that anybody could get across. But at the same time, not manipulating. Mollycoddling. The words that come to my mind are disrespectful. I don't want to be disrespectful at all to anybody. But there's a step, isn't there? There's a bridge that you almost have to build to get from one side to the other, between communication, between different cultures and those who are trying to understand the English that you're getting across. It's interesting stuff, isn't it? Because you never think about it on your day-to-day life unless you're working with clients from different nations, like I am, or you are somebody who has to, you're a translator, or you travel a lot, or you're going to different countries or different backgrounds. This is something that many people really don't think about on a day-to-day basis if they are only operating within their own circle, you know? And this brings it back to me talking about people operating in their own bubble. I'm trying to expand my bubble. I'm trying to look beyond the day-to-day basis while at the same time staying present. How do you stay in that middle ground? How do you stay in the, I'm going to enjoy this moment, but at the same time, I can't wait for the future? You know, there's this lovely medium where you've got to be able to be really content with what you're doing now, but you want to improve for the future as well. I'm saying it like this because I don't know the answers. I think it's kind of intriguing to think about what is that middle ground. Well, you know, you can be a thoughtful person. You can do the things that you love now, right? And then you can also plan and progress for the future. Now, making drastic moves will result in drastic results, but they may not be positive. So you must have to think, well, I might gradually build forward. And by gradually building forward, you become better. And it also brings it back to my favorite two of my favorite things is running and weightlifting. Well, in order to get where I am today, I didn't just go, right, time to run a marathon. I went, right, can I run 4 miles at a certain period of time, a certain pace? You know, I remember back in 2017, I was still running like 9-minute miles. You know, there's still that. And when you run that at that period of time, when you're, what was I at the time? 2 years in. I was 2 years into running at that period of time, 2017. And 9-minute miles felt like I was really pushing myself. And now I'm running sub-7. You know, I'm hitting sevens, you know, 7:30s. It's a gradual step forward. You don't just go, I'm going to bench 110 kg. You don't just do that. You have to gradually push yourself further and further. Now, does that mean that I'm gatekeeping from you? No, it does not. It does bring me this mindset of, am I going to give information that I can say I'm qualified for? No, but it is going to give you an understanding of experience. The more you gradually build towards something, the more you've almost trained your mind and your body to be prepared for it. Now, Arnie used to say, you want to surprise the muscles. Very true. So every once in a while, you're just throwing something like a curveball where, for instance, if you're hitting legs one day and your body's gotten used to it, you go throwing arms and you just chuck it in there just to really shake up the routine. And I think that's not super drastic. That's just a small change. It reminds me a little bit of when you're experimenting in computer science for fitness within an AI group. When you want to create a new, a group of a next generation or a group of children who have parents. You want to mutate the mutation to be small enough, but big enough to be able to make a change in the next generation that is going to increase the fitness of said generation, and therefore going to create a fitter next generation. But the mutation can't be too drastic, otherwise it will ruin the entire generation. This is something that's truly intriguing, because therefore you can apply computer science AI to life. And I know, you're thinking to yourself, Chris, you're a massive fucking nerd.
Nerd!
Yes, I'm very aware of this. I am half nerd, half jock, as my friend says. So I am jacked, but I am also nerdy as fuck. So it is the balance of life. And this is the middle ground, I believe. Small changes to be able to create great results, but done over long periods of time. And this is what I was looking for during the winter. I was thinking to myself, what can I do to get out of this situation? But I didn't think, maybe I should be thinking about the long term. What can I do gradually that's going to increase my happiness overall gradually, rather than just study like a light on, light off? Because when you're unhappy, it's not like there's no happiness in the world around you. It's like, oh, it's a tough time. So you have to gradually get out of that. So you have to introduce little things into your life. And I think something that I heard of recently is that the greatest estimate for quality of life and length of life later on is the number of good relationships you have in your life. Which is great for me, because I've got some amazing family and friends. Which means, does that mean I'm going to live forever? I hope so. But that makes a lot of sense with why my parents are like the way they are. Like, they've got some solid relationships that they can hold on to, and that's probably why they're so just with it at the age they are. Granted, as I've had conversations before about with people, that our generation and the generation behind us have had a much better quality of life in terms of what it's going to be like beyond 50. 50 used to be a death sentence back in, you know, if we're 2024 now, if we were to go back around 50 years, 50 was just like you're close to retirement, people were falling apart, smoking, lack of exercise, bad nutrition, all of it just falling at the seams. And also spiritually as well, people were, Christianity can only do so much. You know, I do like a little bit of diversity. I do like to throw in a little bit of everything in there. And I think that all religions have a small thing to offer. The one that I find to be the most is Buddhism, just because I don't think there's ever been a Buddhist who's been pushy with their religion. But I know for a fact that every single type of Christianity and, you know, Muslim, Islamic has. Judaism hasn't. No, they keep to themselves. That's another. Maybe that's my judgment over my experience. That's very much a niche experience, by the way. That's not a judgment over entire religions. It's just my specific line. Like, earlier today in the gym, nearly I was brought into a trap. My friend was like, what? Where do you think this person's from? And I was like, oh no, where are the cameras? Where are the cameras? Who? What are you trying to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
They found my Instagram account. No!
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
This is what's going through my head all the time, and it's no one how I operate. I don't know how I operate with this much energy and it's always been like this since I was a kid, where I've got 1,000 different thoughts going on, 50 different places just zooming all over the place, or fantasies going off into the world, thinking about how I can do this, how I can do that. It's probably why running for me is so easy. People keep saying, oh yeah, I get really bored when I'm running for 3 hours. I'm sat there like, dude, my brain's whizzing. I'm thinking about all sorts of things. I'm like saying to myself, who's going to carry the boat and the logs? I'm thinking to myself, I'm Goku. I'm about to kill everybody. Like, this is, I don't understand. How is your brain not just like filled to the brim with thoughts and mindset? And you can totally understand now why I need to meditate. Because if, I think it was Alan Walker, no, Alan, oh, I've got to look this up now. Alan Walker, no, Alan, this, I was listening to him on Spotify, so it'll probably be easiest to look him up there and be able to get his album that is really good. And his quote is, if all you do is think and you have nothing but thoughts, then what are, you know, what have you got? And it just really made sense to me. And he's a big advocate for meditation as well, because meditation's there to close the mind, to clear the mind. And by doing so, you allow yourself to not be in that busy mindset, which is why I listen to Buddhism for Busy People, because Buddhism for Busy People just allows this idea of how you can incorporate some of the thoughts of Buddhism into normal life. And I think it's perfectly put by David Michi to incorporate into today's busy world, where we do have reels and TikToks and all of these different things, just snap, 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 energy, go, 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 all the time. So Alan Watts is his name. I was close, I was there. And also I'm listening to Marcus Aurelius's Meditations as well, which is a different sort of meditation to itself. And also the 48 Laws of Power as well. Just another, again, the audiobooks that I'm listening to, I love it. It fills so much time. I love listening to audiobooks while I'm walking, or if I'm doing work and I don't really need to think about the work and I can do something mindless for an hour or so. It's great to fill that with some extra information. And you feel very productive in life when you have that opportunity to be able to do that. And I am very grateful that I remember all the way back in 2017 and I think 2016 as well, when I was working for one of the companies I worked for as an IT technician, and I was able to do calls and then at the same time listen to podcasts. And that was when podcasts were just, they were just so niche and they had such high level quality information that it was just wow, it was just boom. Every single one of them had an impact on you because it was new, it was fresh, it was there, it was in your face. And all the new all the characters that you all know now were not new then. They weren't known then. They were new then. And I love that. You know, Jordan Peterson, Jocko Willink, all of whom at the time were brand new on the scene, and their thoughts were glittering gems amongst a very mundane mindset at that time in 2017, which is now 7 years ago, which is crazy to think. So I was 21 at that time. In 2017, I was 21. Great year, 2017. Fantastic year. I had a really good time. You know, I'd just finished my first year and I would proceed to work through the entire summer. So it wasn't summer as well. I started in April, while I was at university still, to do a 6-month contract all the way up until October. And I earned all the money I needed to build up for my second year at university. So I'd set myself up, and then also got to be the best man at my best mate's wedding in Australia in that summer as well. Just insane year, great year. So these are the memories I'm talking about, where you if you have the opportunity to pick a year and then go, great year, that happened, and you went in, you can really nail it in. And that's been the majority of my 20s, where I can go into each year and I can pick something out and go, whoa, worthwhile, worthwhile being here, fucking A-OK. And I think as I'm getting to the latter end of my 20s, I turned 29 in August, it brings this level of just gratitude to all of the people around me. and all of my life where I have had the opportunity, the luck, the privilege to be able to do the things that I've done with very little obstruction to what I want to do. When I say obstruction, I just mean people just stopping me from being able to do it. It has been a very much case of if I work hard, if I save, if I prioritize correctly, if I do the right things, if I eat the right foods and save the right amount of money, I can do this. And to say that is not the case for the majority of the world. And to say that makes me very grateful. And this brings it full circle to the meditations and to the understanding of being in the moment and to the mention of Buddhism as a religion is gratitude for life. Not just gratitude for life when it's bad, when it's good, but also when it's bad, and to understand that by being in the bad, you can enjoy the good. And it's so easy to get caught up in the things. And this is why I made the video recently of You Are Not Your Job, because it is a reality check on disassociating yourself from the things of life. Don't associate who you are with objects or monetary value or the level of fame or anything that's going to attach you to something that is a thing, a material. And even to an extent, social media or any of those things that, in my opinion, have very little value. And that when you get to the end of your life, you're not going to really give a damn. I think it was Jimmy Carr who said, if you have bought anything from a mall, or in the UK, probably a more relatable thing to that is into anything from a superstore or a shopping centre, you will not care about that thing in 10 years' time. So don't spend money on things or materials. Spend things on memories, friends, family, joyous moments. That one of the greatest things I get to do nowadays with my parents is I get to pay for meals out now. I love the opportunity. When I get it, I take it. If I can afford it, if I've saved up the money and I have the opportunity to treat my family for a brunch or something like those, there's nothing better than that. One of the things, you know, giving to charity, there's nothing better than that. There's no, and I don't mean all the time, when you have the opportunity and when you know you've got some spare cash or when you have the option to do something kind, for me, making someone else's day is better than making my day. And it's why now as an adult, when it comes down to Christmas, my favorite thing is giving gifts rather than receiving gifts. It's the same with Easter. I loved this year giving Easter eggs rather than receiving Easter eggs. So let's end on that. Let's end on gratitude for others, for love, for life, for the present, and a better future. This has been a Taylor's Tales podcast. This has been Chris's Corner. I've been your host, Chris Taylor. And as always, I hope to see you this time next week. Bye now.
With a wave of my finger and a flick of my dick, one zap from me will kill you quick. So get on your knees to suck and blow, but not right now. I've got to go.